Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Roman Battaglia. On November 12th, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and Oregon Humanities will host a free community conversation at Carpenter Hall on how to build common ground in a post-election, politically polarized environment. My guest today is Taylor Stewart, director of the Oregon Remembrance Project, which is producing the event in Ashland in partnership with OSF and the Ashland Sunrise Project. Welcome to the Exchange, Taylor.
Thank you for having me.
Before we talk about the upcoming event in Ashland, let's start with your background and the work of your organization. So for those who don't know, what is the Oregon Remembrance Project and what led you to create it?
Yeah, so I started the Oregon Remembrance Project in 2018 to help individuals and communities with truth and reconciliation projects around repairing historical injustice. This work began in the community of Coos Bay, Oregon, when I worked with the community of Coos Bay to memorialize a man named Alonzo Tucker, Oregon's most widely documented African-American victim of lynching. And so February 2020, we held a soil collection ceremony near the spot of the lynching. In June 2021, we unveiled a historical marker in the community. And what had sort of started as this obscure personal side project grew into how I hoped to spend the rest of my life helping communities with these similar truth and reconciliation projects after seeing the impact that that work had in not only my life, but the lives of those who I worked with in Coos Bay. And so for the last, we've wrapped that up in about 2021. And so for the last 3.5 years, I've been working with other communities on similar projects around Oregon.
Yeah. So it sounds like it started in Coos Bay with that remembrance project for the lynching, and now you're kind of moving across the state with other, you know, projects.
Yeah. For me, I really enjoy this work and find value in it because I believe that we have the power to write new endings to stories of historical injustice, and that we need not be powerless to the way that these stories have ended so far. And so I believe that with the things that we do in our present time, we can add new chapters to these stories. I tell people that there are two dates of significance on the Alonzo Tucker historical marker, 1902 when the lynching occurred and 2021 when the historical marker was unveiled, and that we can't fully understand the story of Alonzo Tucker only focusing on the 1902 date. As his story now continues on into 2020 and 2021, when that same community where his lynching occurred used his memory as inspiration for becoming a community more committed to the ideals of truth, justice, and reconciliation.
Yeah, that's interesting that you mentioned, you know, two dates there. There's the one date when the lynching actually happened and the date that, you know, this marker is being installed to remember it, that, you know, that's kind of the whole part of the story. It's not just when that event happened, but it's when the community is coming together to remember that. I am curious why Coos Bay was the first place to start this. Do you have a personal connection with what happened there or with Coos Bay? Why start there?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I actually didn't have much of a connection with the community before I started this work. The reason why this work began in Coos Bay is because the summer of 2018, I took a civil rights trip to the American South, where we went to Alabama, Mississippi, and Arkansas. And when I was in Montgomery, Alabama, we visited a museum called the National Memorial for Peace and Justice. It was a memorial to the thousands of African-American lynching victims in the United States. And this memorial, it is composed of these 6-foot-high pillars that have the name of the state, the name of the county, and then the names of everyone who was lynched in that county. And I've lived in Oregon my entire life, and at that time, I couldn't believe that living in Oregon for 22 years, that I had to go all the way to Montgomery, Alabama, just to learn that there had been at least one widely documented lynching of an African-American here in Oregon. And so knowing that I was probably not the only one who had not known about this history, and it inspired me to want to come back to Oregon and share this history with others. But beyond just sharing about this history, I really wanted to come back and do something. That Alonzo Tucker's story didn't have to end in that place of injustice, but that we could find some semblance of peace and justice for the story, as well as healing for the community by doing some sort of acts of remembrance in the community of Coos Bay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like it started really with this trip to the South, mm-hmm. to Alabama, where you went to this lynching museum and saw that Oregon had, you know, at least one well-documented mm-hmm. lynching here, and you didn't even know about that. And, you know, it was kind of a shock to even figure out that you had to go all the way over there to find out that Oregon had a lynching like that and wanted to do something about it when you came back here to, you know, remember mm-hmm. what happened in Oregon specifically.
Yeah, and, you know, seeing that museum, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to do something here in Oregon is because being at that museum, it felt like they were giving voice to the suffering that had occurred, and that while that museum, you know, by no means changes the outcomes of those events, it gave a recognition to the people who had suffered that I thought made their stories a part of our collective memory and our collective consciousness. And, you know, one of the things that really stood out to me when I was at the museum was seeing names with the last name Stewart, knowing that simply time and place separated me from the name on that pillar. And, you know, towards the end of my time in college, I finally figured out the answer to the question I'd been wondering my whole life of what would I have done had I been around during the civil rights era? Because the answer was, what was I doing right now? And so seeing the stories of those in the South who fought for justice during the civil rights era inspired me to want to continue their legacy here in our present time as well as in Oregon. And so it was just sort of a perfect confluence of events. Took this trip, was inspired, had an opportunity to build relationships in community in Coos Bay. And so shortly after returning from my trip to the South, I ended up connecting with the History Museum in Coos Bay. And that started the beginning of what became a great 3-year relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was able to build those relationships in Coos Bay, and that's kind of where it started there. You named your organization the Oregon Remembrance Project, and mm-hmm. you might have touched on this a little bit, but what is it specifically that you want Oregonians to remember?
Yeah, you know, it is. So I believe that there are 3 R words within this idea of reconciliation: remembrance, repair, and redemption. Remembrance, understanding the harm that was caused, repair, putting an end to the harm as it continues, and redemption, creating good from a story of harm. And so for me, I want these, you know, our history to be a part of our collective memory here in the state. And it's not just remembering for the sake of remembrance and then we sort of put it aside, but we let these stories be a part of how we exist in community today. That, you know, we remember Alonzo Tucker's story, not just because we put up a historical marker, but because it inspires us to continue his memory. One really cool thing about the work in Coos Bay is that we have continued to elongate Alonzo Tucker's story via the community celebration of Juneteenth. We did Coos Bay's first ever Juneteenth as part of our historical marker unveiling. And what's been really cool is to see the way that the community has grown the holiday ever since. And something that I'm extremely proud about for the community is that this is an unofficial statement, but I believe it's true. I believe that Coos Bay has the largest Juneteenth event per capita in the state of Oregon. And so it's really cool to see the growth of that holiday, the expression of Black history, culture, and community in Coos Bay. And I see that as one way with which we've continued Alonzo Tucker's story via this way with which local African Americans are able to showcase and be a part of the community identity via the celebration of Juneteenth.
Yeah. My guest is Taylor Stewart, founder and director of the Oregon Remembrance Project. The project has partnered with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and Oregon Humanities to sponsor a community conversation on November 12th in Ashland on how to build a post-election common ground of understanding in communities. You can send your questions or comments to jx@jeffnet.org. Taylor, your organization has a Sunrise Project that networks mm-hmm. with local efforts in cities around the state, including in Grants Pass and here in Ashland, to build a what's called a sundown to sunrise movement. Tell me more about mm-hmm. that effort. What is a sundown to sunrise movement?
Yeah, so For those who are unaware, sundown towns were communities that purposefully excluded African Americans and other racial minorities from living in or simply passing through the community through a culture of fear, violence, and intimidation. Sundown towns are a unique phenomenon in American history in that they were so widespread but so little documented. And African Americans as a people group were more widely dispersed in 1870 than they were in 1930. When African Americans were systematically pushed from rural spaces into condensed urban settings. In 1870, 17 of Oregon's 32 counties had 0 to 10 African Americans living in them, but that number would grow to 28 of Oregon's 32 counties by the year 1930, as African Americans were pushed into the urban parts of our state and were not unable to live as much so in the vast majority of Oregon. And so our work is to, through the Sunrise Project, it gets its name because sunrise is the opposite to sundown, and we hope that it signals the start of a new day. So our work is really focused on trying to create this community where everyone can feel safe, respected, and like they can call that space their home. And so we want to create this new identity as that of a sunrise community, essentially the opposite to a sundown town. And so over these last few years, we started in Grants Pass in 2021, expanded to Ashland in February of this year, and we just expanded to LeGrand and Pendleton in October. And so we do a variety of community events throughout the calendar year. We produce educational material, we collect oral history, and ultimately what we're trying to do and what we're trying to do in Ashland here next week is to have these sort of hard conversations, to be the kind of community where these are the exercises that we do as to create community with one another. And so we've been planning this post-election event for the last few months, knowing that regardless of the outcome, this was a conversation that the community should be having. And so it was on our hearts for the last while that this was a space that we needed to fill. And so part of what we believe a Sunrise community is having these conversations about building post-election common ground. And I'm excited for what we have coming up next week.
Yeah. So, you know, say, for example, if the Sunrise Project is wildly successful in Oregon cities over the next 4 years in this unpredictable political environment, what do you kind of hope it will achieve?
Yeah, you know, so two things. My hope is that we can expand the Sunrise Project all across Oregon and create a blueprint for communities across the country. I'm actually in conversation and relationship with some folks in Kentucky who have their own similar initiative. They, like us, they're called the SunUp Initiative. And so I've started building relationships with other individuals and communities across the country who want to have this conversation on repairing this legacy of sundown town. And I think that Oregon, given our history of a foundation with racially exclusionary laws, that we are really poised to be leaders on this conversation for communities across the country. And so over these next 4 to 5 years, I hope that we can really develop a reputation for communities across the country that folks should look to Oregon about how to reconcile a history of racial exclusivity and what a sunrise community could actually look like. You know, my hope is to place what I call touchstones of justice in every community across Oregon. So similar to the Alonzo Tucker historical marker in Coos Bay, one of our goals is to place some sort of physical marker, some sort of physical memorial mural, be it that folks can point to and say, this is a manifestation of our commitment to the values of truth, justice, and reconciliation. So I hope that over these next 5 years, we will be able to develop some groundbreaking, pioneering educational material. We will have vibrant Martin Luther King Day, Black History Month, Juneteenth, and other cultural holiday celebrations happening in communities. And then ultimately, we can create communities across the state of Oregon that people of color feel safe, respected, and like they can call that space their home.
Taylor, I want to talk to you a little bit. You know, in this politically polarized environment, there are those mm-hmm. who would say that your effort is about wokeism and teaching white people to hate their country and themselves. What would you say to those critics?
Yeah, you know, for me, one of the core foundational pieces of the Oregon Remembrance Project is the idea that we can't change the past, but we can always change our relationship to it. Before I was the director of the Oregon Remembrance Project, I worked at an organization called Lions for Life. They're a suicide and substance abuse prevention organization. So if someone calls the National Suicide Hotline from an Oregon area code, it gets routed to Lions for Life. I was in the Department of Communication, but I still went through the training for those who were on the phone line. And one component of that training that I apply to this work now is the idea that for those who were on the phone lines, they were helping people, quote, unpack their luggage, their feelings, their emotions. And what they couldn't do was in the call with folks' stuff laying everywhere. They had to help callers repack their luggage, their feelings, their emotions before they could end the call. And so I take that same approach to community organizing where if we're going to unpack this history of racial injustice, what we're not going to do is leave that stuff laying about, because that's where a lot of the feelings of fear and resistance and guilt come from. What we're trying to do is then repack that luggage into something new. So in the case of Sundown Towns, we are unpacking the history of racial exclusivity, but then we're repacking that history into this vision of a sunrise community. I play a game when I go to Grants Pass, Ashland, Eastern Oregon, called, Can I Get This Random Stranger to Support the Sunrise Project? And people go through this process facially. When I say the word sundown, their face goes sad. But when 2 seconds later I say the word sunrise, their face goes happy because they were like, oh, you gave me this thing, but then you gave me somewhere to put it. And so for me, you know, it's that repacking, giving people somewhere to put this, that my hope is that it alleviates those concerns about we're trying to make people feel bad about their identity or their community. Because what we're really trying to do is create something positive for the community by doing this unpacking work. And so my hope is that our intentionality around repacking helps alleviate some of those fears.
Yeah, I like that analogy of unpacking things and then repacking it, because I think that mm-hmm. that is a lot of time what you hear critics say is that they're just having people come into their community say that, oh, you should hate this, like you should feel mm-hmm. bad about what your ancestor did, and then just leave. And then the people mm-hmm. are left there wondering, well, what happens now? Now I just feel bad about myself. But yeah. I like the idea of the Sunrise Movement is kind of repacking it and saying, well, this bad stuff happened, but now we can mm-hmm. put this effort into something positive and what we can do moving forward to kind of change your relationship to, you know, what had happened in the past.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing, whenever we do our events in Grants Pass, which we've been, you know, active for a while now, we always have some component, you know, be it sticky notes that people can write something up on a board. But you will most likely see the phrase, "We Heart GP." At all of our events in Grants Pass, because that's really why we're doing this. We love our community, and we want to help it become its best version. One of the foundations of my own personal organizing strategy is that rather than tell a community who they're not, tell them who they can be, and then show them the steps to becoming that community, allowing them to play an active role in their own journey. A lot of this comes from my own life where I am someone who is more motivated by positive reinforcement. And so I think that we can do this difficult unpacking of historical injustice, but then incorporate positive reinforcement for that. There are things to be proud about. In Coos Bay, if, you know, 6 years ago, if you had Googled Oregon lynching, you would have gotten a variety of news stories from the last 3 decades that were like, did you know a lynching occurred in Coos Bay? But if you Google Oregon lynching now, Google actually populates all the news stories about the historical reconciliation work that happened there. And so we really can change the ending to these stories. And so my hope is that community members feel empowered through this work. And one of the reasons why I really gravitate towards the word empower is when I took that trip to the South and I visited the lynching museum, I felt powerless. And so I have a lot of empathy for communities and individuals who feel powerless to these stories of historical injustice. And it really has been groundbreaking for me personally to realize that we actually do have power in these situations. We don't have power over the events that occurred, but we do have power over the ending to these stories. And that's brought me personally a lot of peace and has really inspired me to want to do this work in communities across Oregon.
Yeah. You mentioned again that your trip to, you know, the lynching museum and learning about, that's how you learned about, you know, the lynching in Coos Bay. I'm curious mm-hmm. about your assessment of the education of youth in Oregon about the true history of sundown towns and civil rights.
Yeah, you know, I would say that we aren't to the place yet where we have a robust education on these types of Oregon history, but I do know that we're getting closer to having students more educated on this history. The social studies, there's some news, Oregon Department of Education social studies standards that go into effect in 2026. And what's really exciting, I had a chance to look through them and all of the history that, you know, I learned as an adult, be it the story of Alonzo Tucker, history related to Black exclusionary laws, sundown towns, are a part of these new social studies standards. And so the folks at the Oregon Department of Education, I think, have done a great job about wanting to educate students on this history. And so my hope is that as we build out educational material through the Oregon Remembrance Project, that we can be a part of educating students in Oregon for generations to come.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good to hear. I mean, I grew up in Oregon and I didn't mm-hmm. learn. I learned, you obviously learn about a lot of, you know, racism in you know, the United States and slavery and, mm-hmm. you know, all of this stuff, but you don't really learn about anything, or at least back then, Oregon specific. And it took a long mm-hmm. time, you know, going to college to finally learn, oh, there was all this stuff that happened in Oregon that I didn't even know about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's one of my hopes is, you know, thinking 10, 20, 30 years down the line, is that we have this reputation in Oregon for being a birthplace and a launching point for this kind of historical reconciliation for communities across the country. You know, we've talked about my trip to the South. That is not an accessible opportunity for so many Oregonians to travel across the country, to simply be able to have these experiences. And so my hope over these next 10 years is to be able to create a justice tour of Oregon so that folks in our state don't have to travel to Alabama to be able to have those same encounters with history that left me inspired. I hope that Oregon students can take a tour across our state to visit Coos Bay, to go to Grants Pass, to go to Ashland, and to learn about these projects that we've been working on so that students can feel empowered and excited and not, you know, not only excited, but proud of the work that's happened in our state. You know, I tell people that I really do believe that for those who want to invest in Oregon right now, it's like investing in Alabama in the 1950s, because I think that we're really growing something special here in Oregon that I hope creates a new reputation for us across the country.
Yeah. My guest is Taylor Stewart, founder and director of the Oregon Remembrance Project. The project has partnered with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and Oregon Humanities to sponsor a free community conversation on November 12th in Ashland at Carpenter Hall. Taylor, why don't you tell us a little bit about this upcoming event in Ashland on November 12th? Well, what is it, and, you know, why should people come?
Yeah, you know, I think, this event's happening 1 week after Election Day. And I think that this is an extremely important conversation in the last 24 hours. You know, I'm not much of a social media person, but I've looked to see what people are saying, what some of the conversations are. And, you know, I've been admittedly a little discouraged, you know, not specifically about the outcome, but specifically about the ways that we are talking about one another, the ways with which we are not trying to relate to one another. I've seen a lot of talk about the resistance begins now. And while, you know, while there's merit to having to resist, you know, what we consider unjust policies. For me, in our work in with the Sunrise Project, is our first response is, how do we be curious and how do we learn to listen longer? I think that we have come to conclusions in sort of a black and white fashion about why there was an outcome in this election. But life is complex and people are complex, and there is quite a bit of gray area about what created this outcome. And so for us, part of creating a Sunrise Project is learning to be patient, learning to be curious, learning to listen longer. And so we really want to create a bedrock where we can hear each other, and that the outcome isn't due to a racist and misogynistic sexist society. And while those isms may be true, what we really have is there are whole swaths of people in our communities who feel disaffected by the current trajectory of the country. And so for those of us who are hoping for another outcome, I think that our job is to show kindness and to want to understand and help those in our communities who feel disaffected. Yes, the Sunrise Project currently right now is largely focused on the experience of African Americans. But we are really trying to create this feeling of belonging for communities across the country, or across our state. And so, you know, one of the ways with which that manifests itself in Eastern Oregon is the Greater Idaho Movement. And so our work is, all right, there are whole communities in our state who feel like they don't belong in Oregon. How do we create feelings of belonging for them in the state? And so taking that same sort of approach to our event next week is, okay, how do we make sure that this is a community where everyone can feel safe, respected, and like that they can call that space their home? And to get to that place, we have to learn to be curious and listen longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think building a common ground, you know, of understanding in today's polarized society is clearly a big task. What do you think are mm-hmm. some of the challenges that are preventing, you know, adults and youth from seeking to find a common ground of understanding within their own families and within communities?
You know, for me, I think it is not seeing the complexity of people, that for people who voted for Harris, that someone who voted opposite, they were a Trump supporter and that's who they are, period. And that's the story that many of us tell, about those in our community. And I think that it's important for us not to make these simple generalizations about people. People are complex. You know, in the sort of criminal legal space, you know, my hero, a man named Brian Stevenson, says that we are all more than the worst thing that we've ever done. And so we sort of, in many liberal spaces, understand that humans are complex when we talk about harm and in the criminal legal system. But in many liberal spaces, we're not good at holding the complexity of people when it comes to voting patterns in different political ideologies. And so I think it is learning to see value in people who are different than us. I personally, over these last 6 years, so I live in Portland. I've lived in Portland my whole life. My life has been enriched by rural Oregon. And I have learned to appreciate so many things that I didn't know previously because I've gotten to know communities and people who are different than me. And so I hope that we can do that same thing in terms of political ideology, where we can learn to find value in people who share different political beliefs than us. Because learning to see that value, learning to see the complexity of people, I think is one of the foundations for creating that common ground where ultimately the things we want in communities are not too different. I've yet to meet someone who wants higher costs on prescription drugs, who loves paying more at the gas pump.
Yeah.
More often, we want the same things, but we have different ways of getting there.